is the date we have for the church picnic at Milford, baptismal. If you're interested, you've never been baptized, and you'd like to be baptized, you're a believer, you never made that public in that way, I'd love to talk to you about that. And you don't have to be a member of this church, just a member of Jesus' church. You are a firm believer in Jesus Christ, and you'd like to do what he told you to do in being baptized. August 12th at Milford, we do it publicly on a beach area. We have a big picnic. It's one of the highlights of the summer for us. I would invite you to be a part of that. And maybe you've been baptized. I know a lot of people, you're baptized when you were this big or this big, and there's a lot of life that's gone under the bridge since then, and you just like to start fresh. There's nothing that says you can't be baptized again. If you'd like to make a recommitment in some way to your faith through that, to mark that day, man, I'm game. Let's do it. Give it to him fresh and start new. That would be awesome. I'm going to pray in just a minute for this passage that I'm going to share with you this morning from John chapter 17. One thing I really enjoyed, we have about, I don't know, we'll finish this upper room discourse, John passage. We'll finish this series at the end of this month. One thing I've really appreciated about Jesus, and I hope you've picked up on that, that he teaches a very profound wisdom in a conversational kind of manner. He's talking to them, just talking. And as we kind of break it down, we find out that he is really teaching some deep, amazing spiritual truth to us just through conversation. And we're kind of like, oh yeah, this is nice, he's talking, you know, this is cool, he's talking to them. And then you look at it and you look at it and it's go, whoa, what did he just do? And so, you know, last week, for example, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and he was talking to them about this Holy Spirit that's with them and will be in them. And he was telling them, because he knew their life was about to change in a dramatic way. That night when he's arrested and then crucified, and then their whole lives just changed. Everything about their lives just changed. He took care of everything for them up to that point. He guarded them, the scripture says. If they needed, he provided. I mean, he was just in this night. Everything changed, and he was preparing them for a whole new life, a life without him, at least physically. And so he was saying the Spirit is going to come, and he's going to teach you and remind you and guide you through the adversity that you're going to face in your life from here on. And we unpacked that, and we realized not only does the Spirit still teach us and remind us and guide us through difficult times, through adverse times, but he also did that in the Scripture, in the inspiration of Scripture. Those three things were key and important in how we've got the Word of God to us in the Bible. And so it's really an amazing, deep passage that really just came through conversation Jesus was having with them. Today, taking it another step farther, I want to unpack what it means to know God. And we will do that through another conversation of Jesus in John chapter 17, a conversation he's having with his Father. But he teaches us a lot about what it actually means to know God. So let me pray for this passage. I want to be clear. I want to do it justice. And I'm feeling like it's way bigger than I am. So I'm going to pray and ask for help. And I'm going to ask for the Lord to really speak deep into our hearts and souls. Lord, there's no question that your love, your salvation, your scriptures and your Son, your magnificence, so much bigger than we are. And as I step behind your word to share the amazing thing of what you've done, it's a huge mountain with a grand summit up there in the clouds somewhere that I can't even imagine getting to. And so I'm praying now for you to help us climb to that summit and see how beautiful you are. Lord, we often pray for things that are dear to us. Pray for Donna's sister this morning. I pray for Beulah's family today. I have kids going on missions trips, going to other countries, that these things are near and dear. But quite honestly, Lord, I don't know that any of them compare to us climbing up into your lap and knowing our Father. So help me and help us now to comprehend and to open the door of our heart for this to come in and show us behind the curtains our Father who loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the passage, John chapter 17, verse 3. Listen as I read this. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Pretty simple verse. This is eternal life, and we all want eternal life. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? We want eternal life. And this is it, he says, praying to the Father now, that they know you, the only true or real God, you're the only one, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is to know God, the only real God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. So sometimes we talk a lot about believing in him. Bible talks about that. But here Jesus seems to say, this is eternal life, that they know you. And that can be a bit confusing for us. What does it mean to know God and Jesus? They're not here, at least not physically. And even in this passage, God wasn't physically present except in Jesus. And he clearly says that they need to know the real God and Jesus. That's eternal life. So how do you and I know God and Jesus? Verse 6, he begins to unpack that. He says, "I have manifested your name to the people." That means I've made known your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world, those 11, 12, and others. I've made known, I've been speaking, I've been making known your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you. And then now here we have him unpack it in verse 8. This is what it means to know. This is how it happened in verse 8. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So there it is. There's this thing of knowing God and knowing Jesus. He's proclaimed it, and so we need to know. Now, before we go any further, I want to explain the word know to you. And I will tell you, it is not to know God intuitively. That means in your heart you say to yourself, I know there's a God. I believe, I just feel it in here. There's a God. There's a creator. There's a higher power. I just know it. That's intuition. That's some sort of spirit, maybe some sort of intuition. That's not this no. This no is much deeper. It's to understand. I understand him. I perceive him. I comprehend him. I'm conscious of him. There's this inner play. There's this inner action. This me and you kind of thing here that happens. It's knowing experientially. I know my wife. We've been together for almost 21 years now, and we have interacted, and we perceive, and we had a beautiful prayer time last night. We just had some really good conversation, and it's kind of funny because as we talked back and forth, I would say, are you feeling this? Are you that? And she'd say, yeah. And then she'd say, well, you know, when I do this, I'm going, I do too. And it's just like we know each other. We're connecting with each other. That's this no. Eternal life is to know. It's to be in a conscious, perceiving, understanding, connecting thing with the Father God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That seems like a giant mountain to climb, doesn't it? I mean, that just, how do we do that, Terry? In the Old Testament, in the King James Version, if you have ever spent any time in the King James Version, it might say something like this. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a child. Says that about several people. I'm just saying that. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore him a son. Now you know what he knew, don't you? You know what they're saying there, right? And that's this word know. That's this idea of know. It's just this coming together as one. This interaction, interplay, it's not just intuitively, I know there's a God. That is not eternal life. This is eternal life. To know intimately, interconnected. Jesus calls it being one with the Father and the Son. So how do we do that? How do you and I get there? How did they get there? Jesus said these guys got there, and they weren't like the all-star team there that we are. These disciples were a little bit rough around the edges, a little bit ragged. You and I are sharp, man. We are on it. We are in it to win it. And these guys, he says, they knew him. They come to know him. So let me show you in verse 8 what Jesus is saying. And these are good ideas, good steps. This is the step for knowing the Father and the Son. You have to have both. So verse 8, he unpacks it and he says, I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. And we have those words right here. We have the words that came from God, and he gave them to them, and the Spirit taught them and reminded them and guided them to do this. And he says, I gave them the words that you gave me, and they've received them. So number one, There's the words. They come from God. It's not man's words. It's Jesus says, I got these words from you, Father. You were telling me, tell them this, tell them this, tell them this, tell them this. And Jesus says, I told them exactly what you wanted me to tell them, and they received them. So let's just say that to know God, to begin with, we have to receive the words that He has sent down for us. It has to happen there. It can't be our words. It can't be my understanding of who God is or how God acts. It can't be. It has to be His. We have to receive the words that were given. Jesus says, I gave them and they received those words. It says, and they received those words and they have come to know in truth. For real, you and I, we would say today, for real, man, for real. They came to know for real, man. They came to know in truth that I came from you. I gave them your words, they received them, they welcomed them in, and they have come to know personally, they have processed it, they have interacted. This has become personal and interactive with them. It's become near and dear in them. And they have come to know absolutely, truthfully, that I came from you. I, Jesus, came from heaven. I came from God. I existed with you. And I came from you to save their souls. I came from you in love. And they have come to know this, and they have believed that you sent me. There it is. Received, know, believe. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's the process. Receive it, come to know in truth. He came from you, believe it, trust it. The word believe means trust. They trust He came from you. They trust He's the Savior. They trust He's God's love in action. They receive it, they know it, they trust it. Eternal life, to know God. To know God. What's interesting to me is that there are some tenses going on here in the original writing, and one of them is a kind of a past tense where He did something and it just continues on. He's done it. He's given them the words, it says. I give them the words, and they still have them. They just keep them. They just go on. I gave them the words, and I'm still giving them the words, and they still have the words that you gave me, God. So I'm just giving them the words, and they're just keeping them. They still have them. They're holding on. It's kind of a cool thing. The word knowing is the same way. They know that everything you have given me is from you. They're just knowing it. They're just ongoing every day. Today, they know today, and they just keep knowing. Everything's from you, God. Everything's from you. That's really cool. And then the other tense is that some point in the past, they did this. They made this point in time. There was a season or a day or a time, and they did this. And that's verse 8. This past 3 years, in this point of time I've been with them, they received and they know and they believe. There was a point in time they received your word, they know, they comprehend, and they believe. They put their trust in you. All in this point of time, in this season that I've been with them, boom, they did this. And their words now stay with them, and they're knowing, and they're going, and they're just learning and processing. So point in time, maybe 3 year period for them, this point in time, they're just receiving. They received it, they heard it. They comprehended it. They let it interact with them. They kind of gave themselves to it. They believed. They trusted. They said, okay, we trust this point in time. And now they're knowing. And the word is just remaining with them. and they're going forward and they're processing. It's a very cool picture of salvation, all in a conversation, all in a prayer. Jesus is praying to the Father. You unpack this, and he is showing us exactly how to know a God and the Son. Now they know who God is and who Jesus is, and they're trusting them, believing in them, knowing them personally. So we have all this Bible language. They're one with you. They know you. We come and abide with them, and they abide in us. It's all this personal interaction, this knowing process. What are a few things that they are knowing? They're knowing about God and Jesus. And I have a short list right from these verses about this knowing the Father, God, and Jesus about eternal life. This is eternal life. It's knowing you. And this is what they're knowing. This is the knowing part of it. This is eternal life, to know this. It says in verse 2, since you have given him, that's your son, that's me, Jesus is saying, authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. They know that Jesus is the one who has authority. They know that God gave Jesus authority to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Jesus has authority for eternal life. Not me. Not you. Not Allah. Not your grandma. Jesus has authority to give eternal life. You ever raise kids? You ever raise a bunch of kids? You have kids come to you and one little one says, Dad, she told me I had to go do this. She didn't have authority to tell you that. But if I tell you to go do this, then you need to go do it, right? Somebody at work comes up to me and says, hey, he said, I have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that unless I tell you to do that. Why? Because I have the authority. Because you as a parent have the authority. The children listen to the parents because the parents have authority. That's the whole system of family, why it models God and the church. See, you and I don't have the authority to proclaim eternal life over ourselves. In any way. I've been good enough. I've done enough. I believe enough. I do this enough. I don't have the authority to proclaim eternal life over you or me. Neither does someone else. Neither does a God. Neither does your grandma. She can tell you you're saved till the cows come home. It means nothing because she has no authority. Jesus has authority. He's the one who can say eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. It's to know me. It's to know me. So God gave Jesus eternal life. As far as I've read, as far as I've studied, as far as I've learned, there is no one else Father has given eternal life authority to. It's Jesus. He's the only one that has the authority to grant eternal life. It says in verse 4 that God has given Jesus a work to do. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. God the Father gave Jesus work. He gave him a mission, and that is to come to earth and speak about heaven, speak about God, to die on a cross at the end, but to proclaim, to manifest who God is. who we are. We need Him. This whole work has been accomplished. Jesus says, God the Father, God gave me this work, and I've accomplished it. Jesus' life, Jesus' words, Jesus' cross is a mission. It says in verse 6 that God gave him people. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of this world. He gave him specifically a core of people there, and Jesus is going to pray in just a little bit for those who will believe through their name. So indirectly then he's speaking about us as this core. But for this passage, God gave him a core people, 11 and later more. He gave him people to do the work. He gave him people that Jesus protected. He gave him people that Jesus fed and guarded, he says. And it all speaks to the sovereignty of God. It all speaks about God's sovereign control over us. You are God's people, and He is sovereign over you. And He can guard you and I just like He guarded them. God chose you as much as He chose them. You're His. I like this same verse, verse 6, where it says, I have manifested or made known your name to the people. He says this over and over. In verse 12, He'll say it again. In verse 26, He'll say it again. I've made known to them your name. I've made known to them your name. Jesus bears the name of the Father. He bears the name of God. And I've told you this before. You really don't know God until you know Jesus, until you believe in Jesus. People say, I believe in God. I just don't know about all this Jesus stuff, but I believe in God. Well, that's intuitively. You just sense a higher power. But He says, no, God gave me His name, and I brought it to earth, and I'm declaring to you, I'm making manifest to you who God is. You're looking at God. You're looking at God in the flesh, He says. But I'm declaring His name. I'm declaring His will. I'm declaring His truth. I'm declaring God to you. This is God. John would later write, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide or remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides and remains in you, then you too will abide or remain in the Son and in the Father. You'll know Him. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. And no one has the Father that doesn't have the Son. Jesus came to declare the name of God. He came to, it's not just His name. He didn't say, oh yeah, God's name is Jehovah. God's name is Fred. No, that's not what it's talking about. I've come to declare to you who God is, what He knows, what He thinks, how He looks at you. I've come to tell you who God is, explain Him to you, and to live as He would live. I am God. Without Jesus, without believing in Him, without receiving and knowing and trusting, you don't know God. Muslims call Him Allah, and everybody else calls Him whatever they want. They do not know God. And Jesus told the Pharisees in the New Testament, what did He say? Oh, you think your father's Abraham? And I'll tell you, they thought they knew God. They had the Old Testament. And He said, no, you don't. Your father is the devil. You don't know the Father. If you knew the Father, you would recognize Me, is what He said. You don't even know who God is. Jesus says, I have come to declare to you the name of God, who He is. I've brought God to you. quite honestly, there in verse 7, it just says, they have come to know. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. And they just know this. It's just how they live. They know it. It's ongoing. They know that everything Jesus has is God. Everything came from God. Jesus was God's cup, and he just kept pouring in, pouring in, pouring in, pouring in, and everything is from God. So Jesus' people, they know God gave Jesus, and that's eternal life. That equals eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they know you. They know you, the only real God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, the embodiment of you. That's eternal life. Now, if you're asking yourself, man, Terry, you just made this whole thing of salvation really hard. And I've just kind of been told that if you just kind of acknowledge this story, if you just kind of say, yep, I've heard that, that's the one I believe, sign me up, I'm with that one, then I just thought that if you just said, yeah, that's for me, then I'm saved, then I'm a believer, because I don't believe in Allah, and I don't believe in Krishna, and I don't believe in the devil, I don't follow him, that's where I would go right there, and I'm doing my best. That's easy. But now you've said that somehow I have to receive and know intimately, connect, interconnected, and trust. Trust. Man, I did you know that when you got saved? Did you know that when you prayed that prayer? I didn't know all this when I prayed that prayer. I was at that point in time. I was at that point in time when I received the words, comprehended what he was saying. Okay, I believe you. I'll trust my life to that. It's a point in time. And then I'm filling in all the story around it. I'm ongoing knowing, grabbing in pieces about the authority and the name and the work and his people. Now I've been filling in all those blanks, and it's just ongoing. But that day I prayed that prayer in that pastor's office, it was just an initial time of receiving the words, comprehending it with my soul, giving my soul to it, and then walking out that door, change of life, I trust this now. I trust Jesus. And I was saved. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. And they're just now at a point when Jesus says, hey, I've made known to them all these things, and they trust. They believe. They know you. So it's a process, right? There's a point in time where we receive and we know intimately it, and we trust it. We walk out the door to trust it, and then we know it ongoing. We add piece by piece what that means. But that has to happen. I never want to stand up here before you and say, I'll just tell me you're a Christian. Tell me you believe in Jesus. Everything's fine. You're fine. You come to church. You've been a nice person. I never want to stand up here and tell you that ever, 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 because that is not what Jesus just said. That is not what Jesus just said. And you are not saved if you have an intuitive knowledge of God and of Jesus. You must receive. You must interact with your soul in him. You must perceive. You must be conscious of him. You must say, I want you. And you must say, I will walk out that door trusting you now with everything I am. That's salvation. That is eternal life. So we need to evaluate. We need to periodically evaluate ourselves. Where have I been? Have I been receiving? Have I been interacting? Have I been comprehending? Have I been conscious of Him in my life? Have I been intimate with my Father? I'm the bride and you are the bridegroom. Have I been connected to you? Do I trust you? Quite honestly, this receiving and knowing initially is only what I call half joy. We've been talking about the joy of knowing Him, the joy we can have in adversity, the joy we can have even in the hardest of times, but it's only half. Next week I'm going to talk about the other half of the joy. This is only half the joy. I've come to know Him. There's more. There's more joy to be had. We have to evaluate ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. We have to be totally honest with who we are and say, is this me? And I am begging us to do that. Talking with Eldon this morning, and you know, one of the things we've been talking about, and I didn't know it, he's been feeling the same way I've been feeling, and we're talking how we listen to some to people talk around us. We listen to how they pray. We listen to how they interact about their faith and their God, and it seems just so frivolous sometimes. It just seems so weak and so shallow. It's not really about eternal life. It's about a fun thing, or it's about this, I don't know what it's about. It's not a comic book character. This is eternal life, and it's about knowing God, knowing the Creator of all things, of the universe. It's about bowing my life before Him in trust. I trust you. Listen about what things people complain about, what their hardships and what they want prayer about, and oh, this and that, what my time means so much to me, and what people spend their time doing. And it seems to all tell us sometimes you really maybe haven't bowed your life before the Creator of all things, because your time is spent on everything but Him. You're not a reader of His Word. Maybe because you haven't received it as His Word. You don't bow before His authority. Maybe because you haven't given Him authority. You haven't bowed before His authority over your life. Maybe you're a good person and you have authority over your life. You're not a believer at all. And our hearts were heavy as we prayed for you this morning. We prayed over you this morning before this service began. No, not all of you. But man, it's time. It's time. I'm going to lighten up on you with my final closing point, but I don't want you to lighten up on yourself. Trusting the Lord with your life. Have you done that? Have you said, here I am, I'm yours. Come hell or high water, whatever comes down the path, I'm yours. It doesn't matter. Hang me on a cross. I don't care. Disrupt my schedule for today. I don't care. You're everything. As Matt said, you are everything to me, whether I have everything or have nothing. You are everything. And I trust you. So I'm reading a book called Sticky Faith. It's a very good book. Everyday ideas to build lasting faith in your kids. Why would I read that book? I give that book to my kids because they need this book. And the whole idea is, how do you pass your faith on to younger people, that they have it, they hold it, they keep it? And one of her ideas, there isn't a golden bullet, there's no magic formula. They talk about that. But she talks about this idea of trust. And so many times we have kind of beat it into each other's heads, and adults do this all the time. You need to obey God. Do this. Why? Because God said so. And you need to obey. We need to trust and obey, as the hymn says. Obey. And okay, there's a truth to that, right? I mean, we get it. But believing in God, and she goes through this and she breaks the whole thing down with the Greek word pisteu, and how it faith means trust. It means I trust you. I trust you. Here I am. I trust you with my soul, myself. And she says, when you talk to our kids about daily trust, instead of saying, do what I said because you got to obey God, or you're going to church today because you're going to... Those moments are trust moments. Those things, everything we do in our life are opportunities to trust Him. That's what she says. Teach your kids this. Why do I go to church? Why do we go to church, Mom and Dad? It's an opportunity for us to build our trust in the Savior. We're going to go to church and we're going to be around other believers who are going to encourage us in our faith. We're going to go hear the Word of God, and it's going to build our trust in Him. Why do we do devotions? It builds our trust in Him. When you come across a very difficult circumstance in your life, and we've all had them, there are 10,000 reasons for our heart to sing, as there are 10,000 broken hearts. When you and I come across a really difficult choice, there's a matter in our life of some sort, and I have choice A, B, or C. There's several things I can do to help this problem. And we tell our kids, well, look, here's what's happening in your life at school or wherever. What are you going to do? I'm going to punch that boy right in the face. Well, yeah. This is an opportunity for you to choose what God wants you to do. It's an opportunity for you to trust your Savior. You could say, you better obey God. You better do what the Bible says, or He's going to come down and boom. Or... this is an opportunity for us to trust Him. This is an opportunity for our family to show our trust that we've placed in Him. Try that approach. Try that approach in your own life if you don't have kids. This will work. This will sort of work. Jesus said to do this. I don't see how it's going to work, but that's what Jesus said. I know I can get out of this situation here. I can really help it here. It's an opportunity for us to trust. How do you deal with stress? How do you handle stress in your life? We all have it. We all have it. How do we handle it? I told Terry, I was coming home yesterday, I said, you know what, I've just been anxious. I've just been anxious and I don't know why. What are my opportunities? If I'm feeling stressful and anxious and kind of nervous, how do I take the edge off? What do I do? I mean, what's the example? I go shopping. Oh, let's go run up the credit card. Man, let's go to the mall. I'm going to feel better when I get home. Woo-hoo! I mean, there's 50 things I can do to take the stress off my life, right? There's 50 things I can do to go, oh. Well, what the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, pray. Give thanks to the Lord. I said, man, we've got to pray. We just got to go home and pray. And we had an amazing time of prayer. I feel so much better. I had to confess my sin. It was an opportunity for me to trust, to show that trust in Him. There'll be about 50 more tomorrow. And there will be for you too. If you've trusted Him as your Savior, if you have received those words, if you have received this as sent right from God, right from God, and you know Him intimately like a man knows his wife, you here. I'm not just here. I'm all in. I'm here. Here I am. I'm aware of you. I'm with you. I'm married to you. I abide with you. I am one here. Here. I trust you. And live it out. Show every opportunity you get your trust for Him. It's very difficult, but do it. There's nothing more difficult than family problems. Nothing more difficult than, Terry said, we have a young one who we're just heartbroken over. That's probably the hardest ones, isn't it? To trust the Lord, do it His way. I do it His way. Oh, I want them to like me. I want them to think I'm special and I'm the Mac Daddy and we're the best mom and dad on the planet. Or I can do it God's way. God said, children, obey your parents. They have the authority, not you. So I go that route instead. There's just a million opportunities for us to show our trust. I hope this morning, evaluate. I hope you'll evaluate your life. This is eternal life, that they know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? You trust Him. You receive Him. So He's singing this last song. I just want to give us a chance. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's on your plate, how hard it is. Man, I pray that I don't just pray it. My heart's breaking right now for us to know in truth, to know for real. I stand before the Creator, Father of all the universe, and He loves me, and I can give myself to you. Here, I receive you now. If you've got something heavy on your plate and you just want to come up front, maybe we'll have this big old prayer meeting this morning. Come up here. Let me pray. Let me get some people around us. Let's talk to our Father. If you evaluate yourself and you have never received and known and trusted Him with your life, you're not saved. You're not saved. I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care how long you've been in any church under what preacher. You're not saved. You want to do that? Come forward. Let's do that. We'll rejoice with you. But right now, this is a chance for you to meet with your Father.